Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Welcome to the Triple Option Football Podcast. I'm KJ Pilcher alongside my colleagues, Jeff Linder and Jeff Johnson, ready to discuss high school football like we do every week during the fall. We got some great things to talk about. Last week's results, regular season finales for the small classes this week coming up, as well as week eight for the bigger schools. We've got another edition of Who's Got More? This is Best Game Performance Edition, fellas, so keep that in mind. And then whatever seems to slip into our minds and our heads while we're talking here. Rain in the forecast this week, something we haven't had to deal with a lot. I think week one we had some, but does rain really factor in anymore that fields, there are a lot more turf fields that teams play on instead of natural grass that maybe it doesn't have as big of an effect as it once did?
We can't really say the term mudder much anymore, right? No. It's not really a mudder. It's just wet rubber.
Just
or whatever.
Just the field slippery.
Is. Yeah, there you go. Slippery.
All right,
80% chance tomorrow night of showers, gentlemen. So
fantastic.
Wear your hats and your rain slicker out at your games. So,
do you guys have rain slickers?
Not since I was probably in about fourth grade.
Okay. Was it have traditional rain yellow raincoat?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right, okay. in the big boots, you know, that you always had to wear.
All right. Well, hey, let's look back. As always, let's start with last week's games. A lot of big games. I guess big scoring games, really. Not a lot of competitive games actually out there. It's one of those mismatch weeks, in my opinion. Why don't you guys go ahead and start with the games that you were at last week. Lindy, where were you at? What did you see?
I was at Independence, and I saw a terrific game for the second week in a row, both games involving Independence. But I saw an overtime game, first overtime I've seen in, boy, I don't know how long. It's been a while. But Benton Community won at 34-28 in overtime, and great game. Interception for a touchdown by Will Schonbacher was the big play of the game. They were down by a point, and Independence had the ball, and Schonbacher got in front of a pass and returned it 30 yards for a touchdown. That put the Bobcats up 28-21. Independence got the tying drive late in regulation, and then Benton got a stop in overtime, and Benton got a touchdown on a 1 yard run by Carson Nolan. So just a terrific game. Benton won despite, how many yards? Okay. Figure this out, guys. Independence had 335 yards of total offense, and Christopher Meyer had 341.
Wow, so everybody else was going backwards.
Had more than 100% of Independence's output there, so which you never see.
That's a rare occurrence. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, I think they had another guy that had a 6 yard loss on a run.
Wow.
So he's good. Indy still have a chance, Jeff, to make the playoffs?
Yeah. Actually, if they win out, and they should, I think they're going to be in. Right now they're sitting 14. In the RPI, and if they can get to 6-3, I think they've got a really good chance. And the more we look at it, the more it looks like that team's going to get two at large teams. Even if Benton splits here the rest of the way, finishes 5-4, I think they'll get in.
Okay.
And another big game for Benton this week. West Delaware comes to town. Mm-hmm. So like you said, if they can split these next two, good for the Bobcats.
Yeah.
But some big games in that district. Was it 3A4? Is that District 4?
Yeah, 3A2. See, that's why other sports should never go to districts, is because we never know what the heck each district is called.
Yeah, it's easier to go by conferences, right?
Yeah.
JJ, you had double duty last week. You had a game Thursday night at Kingston with Kennedy and Waterloo West, and then Friday, remind me where you were at on Friday.
I went to suburban Troy Mills to watch Northland play.
Oh, that's Midland. Right.
So
that's right.
Yeah, it was good. The first game was the Thursday night game was outstanding. You know, and we talked about it on last week's podcast, the importance of Waterloo West and Cedar Rapids Kennedy, that you know, the winner still had a chance to make the playoffs in 5A, and the loser might just be out. And you know, West won the game 28-21. Terrific. Terrific kind of back and forth action, and West has some really good skill guys. Brett McGovern, their quarterback, was 18 out of 22 for 195 yards and 4 touchdowns. They had some good receivers on the outside, and then a kid at running back, Felix, I think it's Anon is his last name. He had over 100 yards rushing, and you know, they just basically just kind of outscored Kennedy there, 28-21, and another frustrating loss for the Cougars, guys. And you know, it's just kind of been one of those seasons where you know, things, they've shot themselves in the foot, so to speak, a lot this season with bad penalties and untimely penalties, and this was no exception. You had a kid right on the opening kickoff, the tackle was made, and a West and a Kennedy kid kind of got together and started jawing, and the Kennedy kid punched the West kid. Well, there you go. 15-yard penalty. He's out of the game. So that's just kind of sums up, you know, a lot of the frustration for Kennedy so far this season. And West still gives itself a chance, obviously, to make the playoffs with, I think, at least one really tough game. I'd have to double-check West's schedule.
They got Waukee in week 9. They got Marshall Town at home tomorrow, and then they go to Waukee. So though Waukee's 2-5, that's still a toughie.
Yeah, for sure. And then Friday night, just we hadn't hit really North Lynn this season, and the Lynx are having a great year, undefeated, and kind of took apart Midland 39-7. Will Sommerfeld, quarterback, he had 4 total touchdowns, 3 runs, and an 85-yard interception return for a touchdown. And you know, Northland's got a really good line, really good defensive line. They kind of rotate 8 guys, which is very unusual at the small school level in Class A. And a big one coming up tomorrow night against Wapsie Valley for the District 4 championship. Those teams are ranked, 6-7, I believe, in our poll in Class A.
Yep.
And the winner's gonna be a district champ and set itself up for a home playoff games. So that'll be in suburban Fairbank tomorrow.
Fairbank. Yeah. So last week, just to chime in here on the game I covered, I went to Solon the first time to see the Spartans play. They had Washington, Iowa at home. Was kind of a mismatch. Solon won 42-0. They had a nice long sustained drive for their first touchdown, and then after that it was the defense forcing turnovers and parlaying that into points on the offensive side. A lot of short fields just kind of got really out of hand quick after those turnovers came, a lot of fumbles. You know, this is it kind of went maybe as expected a little bit. Solon has just been fantastic this season. Something, you know, I was a little surprised with, I'll be honest with you. I certainly did not have Solon being in the upper echelon of 3A teams to start the season, but they certainly have proven that's where they belong right now. And you know, they're probably going to finish out 9-0 to start the postseason. But Friday was a little bit different. If you read my story that's at thegazette.com, as well as all of our gamers and preview stuff here for week 8. Afterwards, they had a moment of silence. The two teams came together at midfield and took a knee and huddled in honor of a 17-year-old Washington student that died at the end of September in a hunting accident. It was a very touching moment with both teams. Talked to Coach Lucas Stanton afterwards, the Solon coach, and he said he reached out to Coach Williams at Washington, you know, kind of asked what they could do. Stanton said he was on the other side of things, dealing with loss before. The same with the Solon community, and Washington was one of the first communities there to show the support, so they wanted to reciprocate that Friday night. You could tell it was emotional, meant a lot. And then after that, you had senior ceremonies for the last regular season home game for those Spartan seniors, and that was emotional. And you could see, you know, a lot of tears, a lot of hugs, and you know, it just kind of was a reminder that sometimes football is a catalyst for bigger things. Sometimes the game isn't the most important thing, but it certainly can provide the stage for something bigger and better. And I think we saw that with the two communities coming together, with Solon acknowledging their seniors. Sometimes it's a ceremony that maybe gets overlooked or what have you, but it's a lot of blood, sweat, toil, and tears that go into those careers, and to acknowledge that in the last regular season home game is pretty cool. You know, and then see the two teams come together was pretty awesome. So we'll take a look at some of the other scores, especially in the Metro and Iowa City area. One of the big games, I think, on the docket was Prairie at Cedar Falls, and Cedar Falls comes away with a 2017 victory there. Mike Condon was there. You can read the gamer at thegazette.com. But what's your takeaway there with Prairie, especially now that they've got Iowa City West coming into John Wall Field tomorrow night? You know, was that one that kind of got away, kind of slipped through their fingers a little bit? Was that one they needed, or is it just kind of a blip on the radar and move on to week 8?
Well, it makes the job a little bit more difficult now that they've still got West. Were they 4-3, Prairie? Is that right?
Yeah, and I think 13 in the RPI right now.
If they split the last two games, I think they're still going to make the playoffs. And they certainly could win both. I guess they could lose both. I mean, Dubuque Senior in week 9 isn't bad either. So, you know, it took away a little bit of the margin for error. I think with their strength schedule, they're still sitting pretty well to get in for sure. But this probably eliminated any chance they had to host the first round.
Kind of moving on, Iowa City High beat Des Moines East 59-14. That's City High's first win of the season. Knew they were going to be green and kind of rebuild a little bit, but I certainly didn't think it'd take the week seven before they got their first win, but now they're in the win column.
And Pilkey, young man, sophomore quarterback, threw, I think, 5 touchdown passes, which tied the school record.
Chase, Chase Cabeza.
There we go. Yep.
I think he was 29 for 33.
That's not bad.
No.
And back to Prairie too, real quick. Sorry, I didn't chime in earlier. Dawson Carr only had 1 carry last Friday night, so there must be an injury situation going on with him, and he's their top running backs. And he was out 1 game earlier this season with a concussion. So I hope that isn't another one, because that hurts, obviously, Prairie, with Dawson Call being out. So sorry to interrupt. Keep going.
No, you bring up a good point with Call, because he's a big part of their offense, and the best product they can put out there is when he's in the backfield. Lindmar, 48-7 over Muscatine. 3 straight wins for the Lions there. They crept ahead of Kennedy. Still 21, probably not going to make the playoffs, but still they've turned things around here recently under Coach Dwayne Orr, a nice little win streak. Only allowed 17 points over those last 3 games that they've won. Iowa City Liberty with a 28-14 victory over Pleasant Valley. Reese Rettig doing Reese Rettig things again. 263 total yards, 158 on the ground with a TD. Brody Brewer rushed for 156 yards and 2 TDs. And Iowa City Liberty rushed for 339 overall. Iowa City West, we mentioned they were going to Prairie. They took care of business against Davenport Central, 63-7. And a couple other 5A scores of note in the state. Number 1, Waukee Northwest, 38. Number 9, Southeast Polk, 7. And then Sioux City East. Number 10, Sioux City East knocked off number 4, Johnston, 21-17. Okay. I know I've got to eat a little crow here.
Me too.
I wasn't buying into Sioux City East, thinking they didn't have much of a schedule, but boy, they certainly have proven, even with their loss, they were highly competitive in that loss, and now they knock off number 4 Johnston. You gotta buy into the Black Raiders, right?
I'll eat crow with you. We'll throw some hot sauce on there, Pilchy, and we'll down it together. I was wrong, not the first time. Today, but that's an impressive win, and like you said, the only loss was a close one to Ankeny. So everybody, we've been looking all year on the east side. Can anybody over here hang with the big dogs in Central Iowa? Well, I guess maybe we should have looked a little well further west, huh?
Yeah.
So Sioux City East finishes with Council Bluffs, Lincoln, and Ames. So they're going to finish 8-1. And if unless they've got Ankeny right on their heels, they'll be that 4 seed in the playoffs. If Ankeny's at 5, then Ankeny would flip flop them because of head to head.
So Lindy, would it be a possibility that like a Cedar Rapids school or somebody over here would have to go all the way out to Sioux City to play a first round game?
Well, I suppose it's possible. I would say it's unlikely. I would think they would probably do some kind of a procedural bump to get one of those Des Moines schools to go out there instead.
Okay.
You know, I'm just got right now looking east is 4, 13 would be Prairie.
Yeah.
I would think common sense would prevail there a little bit though. You know, maybe flip flop and have Ankeny Centennial go out there. They're the 12 and Prairie would play, well, Ankeny, which is the 5 right now. So still a lot of football to be played between now and then.
It's all four lane. I can attest. Going out there for state baseball, it's an easy drive. It's just a long one. So
yeah,
who knows?
Which Sioux City East had a nice run in baseball too. So obviously a very, very accomplished and athletic class coming through the halls right now out there. So kudos to Sioux City East. Let's move on to the couple of the other Metro Iowa City scores. In 4A, Cedar Rapids Xavier took care of business against Waterloo East, 61-18. Cash Parks, 4 of 5, 55 yards and a TD, very limited action. Carter Hoffman, 96 yards rushing and 3 TDs there. Grinnell Blank Marion, 30-0. And then Waverly Shellrock beat Cedar Rapids Washington 45-14. Decorah with a big win over Mason City 58-13, which sets up a showdown with Xavier this week at Saints Field for the district title. But check out this line from Trevor Kennan against Mason City for the Vikings. He had 140 yards rushing. Tommy Sexton, he had 2 rushing touchdowns. He had 6.5 tackles, 5 solo, 2.5 tackles for lost, 1.5 sacks, and then he returned an interception 30 yards for a TD. Kind of right on par there with Will Sommerfeld as far as great all-around games last week. But you've got that biggie Decorah and Xavier. You know, they've had some pretty outstanding games in the past, especially when it was Decorah Regis, going back a handful of decades even. You know, what do you guys expect this week there with those two teams coming off big losses and a lot at stake? Because the winner, you think, home, dome, maybe in the playoffs.
I think Xavier is probably the favorite by, I don't know, at least one touchdown. You know, you look at Decorah has a loss, and it was fairly lopsided, I think, to Western Dubuque, which is a team that Xavier beat in a close game. So just by association, I think Xavier certainly be a favorite here, and then playing at home as well. I mean, that's a long trip from Decorah, but I think Decorah probably can play with anybody, right, guys? So I guess that's my take. Xavier will be favored certainly, but I also covered a game. Decorah came down here for a playoff game 1 year in fairly recent times and beat Xavier, so it has been done.
KJ, you played high school football. JJ, you played high school baseball. What does a long trip mean? You know, going on the road, you know, 2-hour trip. How much does that affect the team?
Well, in baseball, I think the farthest trip we ever took was maybe to Dubuque. Dubuque, Davenport, Waterloo, Cedar Falls. So it wasn't really ever bad. And, I don't know. A lot of schools for the farther trips, they take charter buses now, which is very, very comfortable, especially compared to the old Bluebird, right? So I don't know that it's necessarily that big a factor. Pilchy, what do you think? I mean, you played football and had to make some trips, right?
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it's that big of an issue. Now, when you're driving down two lane roads, it's a little bit different than, like you mentioned, a lot of our trips were to Waterloo, you know, on 380, going to Davenport, up to Dubuque on 151. This trip might be a little different. I think the only thing I would say would be the biggest issue, because you're going to get there early. You're going to get time to stretch out. You know, you still got a sophomore game or JV game, whatever, you know, that first game is now, to be able to kind of stretch and kind of shake off, you know, any lingering effects of being in a bus for 2 to 3 hours. The biggest thing is keeping kids focused, I would say. You know, obviously, I'm sure they probably have a go-to movie that they throw in on these charters. You know, ours was always Major League when we go to baseball games. But the thing is keeping them focused. And, you know, you can get on a bus, and sometimes if you don't have the right leadership or the right maturity, it's grab ass, and coaches are babysitting more than kids are kind of minding their business. And then when that happens, you don't know what you're going to get a couple hours later when you get on the field. But if you can keep them focused, you know, that ride's not really, you know, those trips aren't that bad, especially when you're staying within a couple hours. Now when you go, like, say, if Prairie and did get shipped to Sioux City East, that's a little bit different. That's one that could have an effect. But
I know there used to be a caveat for playoffs that the trip had to be 3 hours or less, I think. Mm-hmm. And if not, then maybe they go
neutral site.
So I don't know if that would be a possibility, you know, if they would, maybe they'd play that at Fort Dodge or something.
I remember, how far is Algona and Mount Vernon, boys? That's over 3 hours, right?
I believe so.
They played last year in the playoffs, and Mount Vernon had to go out there. So what Mount Vernon did was,
I thought it was over 3.5 hours, maybe.
Okay. If I remember. Okay. So they took charter bus, got to the Sacred Acre in Parkersburg, got out, had a little bit of a workout on That's the right. drive over there, then climbed back in the bus and finished the trip. So maybe you could do something like that if you have to have that big of a journey in the playoffs, like Cedar Rapids to Sioux City or something like that.
Yeah. 3 hours, 21 minutes.
There you go.
Boy, and how long was the Solon to Humboldt? Didn't Solon get shipped to Humboldt too?
That'd be
same week. A couple treks there. And we'll see what this postseason will bring us as far as that goes. Looking at a couple other scores in 4A, Western Dubuque 63-0 over Davenport West. Not really a surprise, but that's four wins in a row for Western Dubuque. Is this a kind of a – are they putting together a really quiet, strong season that could certainly play spoiler here? They had a close loss to Xavier, was a close loss to Dubuque Wallard as well.
Yeah.
And now they've won four in a row. They're 5-2 now. Got a big, I think, a pretty decisive win at Decorah. Watch out for the Bobcats here coming up.
Yeah. They're one of those teams that you're really not gonna want to see in your bracket, even if you're at home. You know, that's a team that, you know, that staff, those kids know how to win. And you know, that might be one of your group of death teams, KJ.
Oh, we're gonna have to we'll have to prepare and start drawing that out. Couple other scores here in 4A, Newton 31-19 over Clear Creek Amana. I'm assuming that probably pretty much douses Clear Creek's postseason chances there.
Yeah, I would think so.
Number 7, ADL, or Adel ADM, 45, number 10, Glenwood 3. Big win there for ADM. In Class 3A, there are a couple of interesting scores there that I think might raise the eyebrow a little bit. Central DeWitt with a big 33-24 win over Mount Vernon. Hudson Kruko, 220 or Central DeWitt had 220 rushing yards, but Kruko passed for 211 and three touchdowns against Mount Vernon. That was, you know, that we knew, especially Mount Vernon the last 3 weeks or so, this was going to be a tough, tough road because Central DeWitt got Assumption and Waller in the last 2 weeks. What was your takeaway seeing Central DeWitt win? And that, you know, things are unsettled in that district.
I was very surprised. And I tell you, Mount Vernon is, you know, there's got to be a little bit of urgency, a little bit of anxiety over there right now. They're 5-2. They got two tough games left. And boy, if they would drop them both, they might not make it.
Well, I would have never thought that.
No. I mean, we had them as a consensus preseason number one. And, you know, they'd better get it figured out this week, and if not next.
Yeah, between Mount Vernon and Algona, those were two teams near the top of my preseason ranking. And Algona lost another one again this week to number 6 Sioux Center, 21-19. It's been a tough season for them. And like you said, Mount Vernon, they've got a lot of work to do here the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
One of the other surprises, I would say, especially after what Williamsburg's done the last 2 or 3 weeks with wins over Des Moines Christian and Nevada, Winterset with a 29-0 shutout of Williamsburg this week. JJ, that surprised you a little bit with the Raiders being as hot as they were to fall to the Huskies?
Yeah, sneaky. Winterset's kind of a sneaky good team. 4-3 now. Certainly no pushover, and you have to look at the gauntlet that, you know, Williamsburg has had. You know, back to Solon, PCM, Xavier, Des Moines Christian, and Nevada in that order were the previous five games. So maybe it's some sort of unintentional let up by the Raiders, but. You look at the stats in that game, Winterset ran for over 300 yards. So the reason it won the game right there, Williamsburg's inability to stop the run. And now I guess that throws that district kind of up for grabs, right, Lindy?
Yeah. Williamsburg still wins the district if they went out, I think, right? Okay. It's a four-way tie right now. If they win both, I think they still win that district. Unless that's a tie with like a three-way tie and Winterset's still involved, but Winterset must still play at least one of those other two teams.
Okay.
I can I'll effort that real quick while you guys talk.
Yeah. Williamsburg's got Knoxville, Sadale. That's win-win. Winterset has Sadale and Des Moines Christian. So that week 9 game with Des Moines Christian's big.
Okay.
Looking at another score, West Delaware, they stay unbeaten, setting up a big game at Benton Community. They beat Charles City 55-0. And stop me if you've heard this before from West Delaware. The run game and defense propelled them to a win. So the Hawks rushed for 230 yards and 5 touchdowns. Their defense had 7 tackles for loss and 3 turnovers, 3 takeaways. So the Hawks kind of sticking to that formula, running the ball and playing really stifling defense. So it's worked out well for them. And, of course, they're at Benton this week. Dubuque Waller, we talked about that district with them, Assumption, Central DeWitt, Mount Vernon. Number 7, Waller beat number 10, Assumption, 27-20. So still a lot going on with that that 3A district. In Class 2A, West Branch They won 23-3. They were down 3-0 at half and scored 23 unmatched points in the second half. Cooper Gates, 2 TDs. Keaton Gates with a touchdown run. They have a big game against unbeaten Bellevue this week for district title up for grabs. Mid Prairie beat Mediapolis 62-21. Mid Prairie now 6-1 overall. Albernette with a big win over Monty Monticello 47-7. Brody Kestner, 211 yards passing, 4 TDs. And of course, Lake and Caves, huge game for him as well. 12 rushes, 150 yards, a touchdown, 5 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown, and then an interception as well. So Albernette still looking strong. South Tama with a 28-27 win over Pella Christian. Well, we've talked about, I think, Linder, you mentioned this before. You know, South Tama is 4-3. Even if they lose, they're going to be assured of a 500 record, and they've had some pretty rough times. So a nice turnaround season for the Trojans.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs, and that's great. Really great. Really happy for South Tama. And, you know, Vinton Shelsberg can win. They can join them in the playoffs if they would beat Denver, which will be a challenge. But, yeah, South Tama, 4-3, Davis County this week. So you got to think they're going to finish 5-3 and probably be the 3 team out of that district. So kudos to them.
Yeah, if they could get that win, they'd be assured of a winning season. Some scores statewide of note. Number 4, Okoboji, 17. OABCIG, 15. And then Cherokee knocked off a top 10 team, 56-36 over number 10, Western Christian there. Class 1A, some pretty lopsided games there. Regina, 49-8 over Eddyville, Blakesburg, Fremont. Dyersville, Beckman, 69-12 over Northeast. Beckman, 6-1. Jude Kramer, 90 yards rushing, 3 TDs. And then the Dubuque County rival, Cascade, with a 46-26 victory over MFL. Mick Hoffman, he's put together a heck of a season. He passed for 312 yards, 5 touchdowns. Jackson Green had over 100 yards rushing and 2 TDs. Eli Fritz, 8 catches for 101 yards. Brady Odding, even better, 8 catches, 158 yards, and 4 TDs. So big win there for Cascade. Both of those teams will be marching on. Statewide, number 9, West Marshall, 43. Number 10, Truro, I-35, 0. Big win for West Marshall there. And they've really come on strong here the last few weeks.
Before we leave 1A, let's talk about District 4. There's a chance for a 5-way tie for first in that district. Columbus is 3-1, Hudson's 3-1, Union's 2-2, Applington Parkersburg's 2-2, Jessup's 2-2. Union's got Sumner Fred, so you assume that they're going to get to 3-2, and then both the 3-1s play the other 2 2-2s, and if that gets to be a 5-way tie, good luck sorting that out.
Yeah, I was going to say, what would be the criteria for that many teams in a tie? I mean,
I think it's just 17-point rule.
Is it really?
Yeah.
So that's always fun. That'll leave somebody very unhappy if that were to come to fruition.
It would leave me very unhappy if I had to be the one to figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. So hopefully those things get ironed out on the field and not with a pencil and paper, right? Class 1A, or in Class A, we talked about Northland and Midland with their big win there, setting up that battle with Wapsie Valley, number seven versus number 8. There, statewide in Class A, number 3, Woodbury Central, 33, Loma, 14. Probably the one that stands out the most. Number four, Marcus MMCRU. 14, number six, West Sioux 7. That one really notable. And then, you know, Pekin, number nine, Pekin, 32-27 over Danville. Pekin 7-0 in Class A right now. So Pekin putting together a good campaign. Eight player, Edco, Iowa Valley, both win big. They improved to 7-0. Montezuma wins 82-8 over Twin Cedars to go to 5-2. And the one that really stands out to me in eight player, Springville, they won their fourth in a row. They have the Tractor Bowl this week against Central City. If they win and Alcater Central loses, Springville should. I think, Lindy, we talked about this. They'll make the playoffs if
if they win. They just have to win.
They just have to win. Okay. Yep. So win over Central City in the Tractor Bowl. We'll put them in, and that's quite the turnaround, quite the rebound for them after starting 0-4. Of course, I think they're healthier. Mason Hoy had a big game against Waco. 217 total yards, three touchdowns. Conlon Rouse, 14 and a half tackles in that game, eight solo. So Springville really on a roll here, winning four in a row. Statewide, Ruthven GTRA, 62. They're ranked seventh over number eight, Kingsley Pearson, 62-46. So anything we didn't touch on there with last week's results that you want to highlight before I quiz you on who's got more?
I think I'm ready for the quiz. But, you know, just joining what you said on Springville, they're going to be the three seed out of that district if they win. If you're a two or even a one, do you want to see them? I mean, they're going to be a pain in the butt for somebody.
Depends on what direction they send them. But, yeah, even in that 0-4 start, they played some pretty darn good teams and were competitive. You know, I know Iowa Valley and I think Montezuma were two of the teams in that 0-4 stretch. Maybe even Don Bosco.
Just kind of looking here, you know, a two team, a two seed from one of those districts might be somebody like a Clarksville or Collins Maxwell, Belle Plaine, Turkey Valley. You know, I would think Springville would be favored over any of those teams, wouldn't they?
Possibly. Yeah. So you got to like where they're sitting right now.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Who's got more ready for this, boys?
Ready.
Let's roll.
All right. So this is single game edition. So these are single game bests.
Okay.
For all these categories. So remember that. So we'll start off with most tackles in a game so far this season.
Okay.
Who has more? Dylan Weisskopf of Williamsburg, Kyle Youngbear of South Tama, or Aiden Schrock of Clear Creek Amana?
I'm going with Mr.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say I was going to go with Mr. Schrock. I don't know why.
I'm going to go with Mr. Young Bear just to keep the South team of love going.
All right, there we go.
Dylan Weisskopf has 13 and a half tackles. Aiden Schrock, 14 and a half tackles against Xavier. Weisskopf was against Nevada. Kyle Young Bear had 18 and a half tackles against PCM. So Kyle Young Bear, that's earning your paycheck right there.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, most rushing yards in a game. All right. Most rushing yards in a game. Drew Bergfeld from Western Dubuque, Lakin Caves from Alburnett, or Keaton Gates, not Cooper, Keaton Gates from West Branch.
You're up first, JJ.
Lindy, you're first.
I am.
Oh, all right. I'm gonna go Lakin Caves.
Yeah, that almost seems too easy, but I'm going to do the same.
Okay. Drew Bergfeld rushed for 238 yards against Waverly Shell Rock. Lake and Caves rushed for 314 against Mid Prairie. I believe that was week two. Keaton Gates rushed for 274 yards against West Liberty. So Lake and Caves, 314 yards. Woo-hoo. Good work. All right. This one gets a little tougher here. Most two-point conversions in a game.
Oh, geez.
You've got
Kriegel.
Brennan Merkel of CPU, Owen Grimstad of Waukon, or Braden Todd of South Winnesheek.
Oh, none of them are eight-man either.
No.
Oh, no. I'm going to go with Merkel of CPU.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the young man from South Winnesheek.
Okay. Now, see, I think if we would have asked this 8 years ago, I think it would have been really, really easy because this team never kicked extra points back then. But Braden Todd had two against Sumner Fredericksburg. Brennan Merkel had three against Maquoketa. Owen Grimstad of Waukon had four in a win over Forest City. Uh-huh. So 4 2-point. I thought Waukon might give it away because there was a time there when they almost exclusively went for two during kind of that stretch when they were going to the Unidome and even won a state title.
Yep, yep.
But
some really good teams.
Yeah. And never kicked, hardly ever kicked. All right, here we go. Fumble recoveries in a game. Most fumble recoveries in a game. Got Cal McAfee of Cedar Rapids Kennedy, Jack Helly of Dyersville Beckman, or Landon Cooling of BGM. Who's had more fumble recoveries in a game?
Am I first? I'm going to go Landon Cooling.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the young man from Beckman.
All right. Cal McAfee of Cedar Rapids Kennedy had two fumble recoveries against Marshalltown. Jack Helly had two fumble recoveries against Waterloo Columbus. And Landon Cooling had three against Colfax Mingo. So Cooling of BGM. Johnny on the spot. You have to be in the right place at the right time to be able to recover around three fumbles. Yep. I believe they call them ball hawks, maybe.
Yeah. Fly into the ball.
Okay, so here's your last one. Most TD passes in a game this season. Most TD passes in a game. You kind of touched on it, Chris Cabeza of Iowa City High, Reese Reddig of Iowa City Liberty, or Vernon Benda of Cedar Rapids Jefferson?
Lindy's doing some ciphering here.
No, I'm just writing them down so I can remember names here. Uncle Cabeza with what he did last week.
Okay. But I know he had five last week. Yeah. All right, I'll go with Cabeza too.
Okay. Well, you're both right. Hey. And the thing is, you couldn't have been wrong on this one. All three of Cabeza, Reddig, and Benda have thrown five touchdown passes in a game.
Outstanding.
Cabeza threw five against Des Moines East last week, and then Reddig and Benda through their five against Southeast Polk and Muscatine, respectively, on September 5th on the same week. So, big week there for those two.
All right.
So, you guys did pretty well. I thought those would be a little tougher. Other than
those are good questions. Good questions, yep.
And, JJ, you're right. It's a lot easier being on this side of the – got more questions.
$100 million, yes, 100%.
All right.
So, Lindy, maybe next week you can do this. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh boy. All right.
Maybe all right, I'll come so up with I'll just run game. Down. I'll just run down a few games that Jeff Linder has put together on our weekly football capsules. Our 8 games to kind of watch here this week. You can find that at thegazette.com. Number 9, Decorah, 6-1. 3-0 in Class 4A District 2 versus number 1 Xavier, who's 7-0, 3-0. That's at Saints Field. Iowa City West at Prairie. That's 5A number 7 Iowa City West, who's 6-1. Prairie's 5-2 overall. They've been in and out of the rankings. We mentioned Lindor's win streak. They host Cedar Falls, who's coming off the win against Prairie. Cedar Falls is 5A number 5 with a 6-1 record. Lindor at 3-4. City High coming off their first win of the season. They face a really tough fourth-ranked Liberty team. Liberty 6-1. Iowa City High 1-6. Cedar Rapids Kennedy at Bettendorf, both 3-4. On Friday, then we talked about North Lynn at Wapsie. That's probably one of the biggest games all in all classes. Both teams are 7-0 overall, 5-0 in Class A District 4. North Lynn's ranked 6th, Wapsie 7th. And then West Branch at Bellevue. West Branch is 5-2 overall, 3-1 in Class 2A District 5. Bellevue ranked 8th, 7-0, 4-0, and hosting the Bears. West Delaware at Benton. That's number 4 West Delaware, who's 7-0, 3-0. Benton is 4-3, 2-1. Trying to solidify its playoff berth. And West Delaware looking for a win to set up a big, huge week 9 game, possibly between unbeaten West Delaware and unbeaten Clear Lake, if both take care of business this week. So a lot at stake for both of those. We mentioned Mount Vernon. They host Dubuque Wallert this week. That's number 6 Wallert, number 9 Mount Vernon, both teams 5-2. Wallert 3-0 in 3A District 3, Mount Vernon 2-1. And Mount Vernon desperately needs this one. So, guys, thoughts on that slate of games or any others that are kind of looming out there here in Week 8?
I threw in – I didn't put it on the list, but Vinton at Denver. Yeah. You know, it's certainly not a big game as far as a district championship or anything like that, but might be a make or break game for either or both teams to get into the playoffs.
And we should have Class A and 8 player pairings, right?
Friday,
1A, 2A. That's all the way up. Apologize. Yep,
2A down. I think we'll have the qualifiers Friday night and the pairings
Saturday morning.
Okay. I think 10.
Okay. So I can't believe it's that time of year, but let's go.
Yeah.
Right. I will be out at Cedar Rapids Prairie for the 5A matchup between Iowa City West and the Hawks. Looking forward to that one out there. Got my spot reserved, thanks to Mr. Andrew Davis, the AD at Prairie. Why don't you guys tell everybody where you're going to be at this week and how we can follow y'all?
Yeah. I'll be at City High in Liberty, at North Liberty, and I also have a spot there. Inside joke. So I'm looking forward to seeing Liberty for the first time this year, and we'll see if we'll see if City High can build a little momentum after their first win last week. And how about you, JJ?
Saints Field, get my first look at the Xavier Saints. So big Xavier Decora tilt. And if they don't have room for me in the press box, I'm just going to follow around Coach Schulte all night on the sideline and listen in. So that's my plan. Oh, wait a minute. It's going to rain. Never mind. I'll watch from my car. How's that?
Yeah. They'll have room for you up there. You'll be able to stay dry and toasty warm up in the all right. Well, make sure to follow us. You can find all our preview items at thegazette.com, not to mention in all of our high school sports. You can see a roundup from this week's state golf tournament as well at thegazette.com. Jeff Linder's been very busy with volleyball and cross country, and more of that to come that you can find at thegazette.com, as well as rankings, games to watch, and all our game reports after week 8 games. So make sure to log in and check out all of our great content at thegazette.com. For Jeff Linder, for Jeff Johnson, I'm KJ Pilcher. Thanks for watching the Triple Option podcast again this week. We look forward to welcoming you again next week for week 9.
And
keep your head on a swivel.